For we are His workmanship. Created. We got any creation believers in the house today? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. God, for Your presence. God, for the healing power that is in this sanctuary this morning. God, we owe a great debt to You. But I'm so glad, God, that You paid that debt. Father, I pray this morning, God, that You would bless and anoint these lips of clay. God, we've already been blessed to feel Your presence. God, don't leave us now. Hallelujah. Lord, as we go into Your Word, strengthen us, prepare us. Let us understand and know what Your will is and be submissive and obedient to that will. I do pray, God, for every request of prayer this morning, every person who's hurting or sick, Father, pray, God, that You would minister. But right now, Lord, may we get our mind totally on Your Word, God, and be receptive to what You have for us this morning. Anoint these lips of clay, Father, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. One more time, a great love for Jesus, and you may be seated. Have you ever made this statement? I'm getting a little tired of whatever. Come on, be honest. We're flesh, we get a little tired of. I want to share something with you, and I want to confess something with you. I'm getting a little tired of what Satan's telling the church. My patience has grown thin. I've seen him in his operation. I've seen what he likes to do. He likes to tear down. He likes to upset. He likes to cause problems and issues. And I, for one, am very tired of it. I'm reminded that greater is He that is within me than he that is in this world that comes against me. But can I tell you, through all of the more, I guess, rememberable things that Satan comes against us with, sickness, affliction, depression, and all of those wonderful things there that he has in his repertoire, the thing that frustrates me the most is his ability to speak to the saints and actually put it in their minds and in our hearts that we are worthless, that we are non-productive, that it doesn't matter whether we're here or not. Talk to too many pastors who are spending the bulk of their time trying to re-energize folks that are saved. And that's part of it. But there comes a time and a point in a Christian's life when we need to realize that we are saved. That we've been born again. Just who we are in Christ. That's the reason I want to leave this with you this morning. We are His workmanship. There's a song that says, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I understand lowliness of mind. I understand humility. But I also refuse to be Satan's punching bag. Because I've got something within me that he cannot touch. I got something within me he cannot defeat. I got something within me that'll raise me out of the ashes. I got something within me, amen, regardless of what I face, I've got a company. I've got a host, amen, of the Spirit of God that's going to raise me out of that situation. Because I am a product of his workmanship." Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God knows what he's doing. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? In the 40s, when I use the word we, I'm talking about the nation of America, the United States, the wonderful nation that we live in. But I'm also paralleling society. Because as great as the United States is, it is affected by society.
I don't know whether you realize it or not. We don't look the same way we did in the 40s. We don't dress the same way we were. Or the 50s. Things change. But God doesn't. Who am I? In the 40s, we fought for ourselves. The word united meant something. It was no more division from the north to the south, or the east to the west, or the black or the white, or whatever. We fought for ourselves because an enemy was trying to overrun the world. And we came together. Sometimes adversity breeds togetherness. Sometimes we get into such a state of complacency and comfortableness that we fail to realize that we are one nation under God. Indivisible. I used to beat up on my little brother. But don't you let a neighbor try to do it. I heard one fellow say, the tooth fairy would need a wheelbarrow. Don't mess with my little brother. I can do it. Don't you mess with him. When the world began to mess with the United States, we came together. We fought for ourselves. In the 1950s, we rebuilt ourselves. And many of you have no idea what the 50s were. I remember growing up in the 50s. And there was patriotism, and there was, again, neighbor loved neighbor. And you lived in the communities, and you knew who lived around you. And we rebuilt ourselves. We had just fought a costly war, and the economy began to upswing, and people began to realize what an importance it was to live in a land of the free. And we began to recognize God as the one, amen, that was the head of our nation. And I remember not only the patriotism, amen, but the wonderful reliance on God. It was not uncommon, and it was certainly not unpopular to mention the name of God. Amen. And even to pledge allegiance in the school and read a scripture many times. I read a scripture and a devotion before we ever started our classroom. In the 50s, we rebuilt ourselves. Then the 60s rolled in. And I remember, we tried to find ourselves. One of the most popular phrases of the 60s is, I'm trying to find myself. To know my true personality. To know in the vastness of all of this universe where I fit in. I will tell you, it will not come sitting around a campfire snorting something. You won't ever find yourself. But we thought that's what we needed to do. And the age-old question, who am I? What is my reason for being here? Then the 70s come. We tried to forget ourselves. We tried to lose ourselves. You got a worry here. You got a problem here. Come on. This will give you a buzz. Give me the days when buzz meant a short haircut. Come on, I long for those days. I long for those days when neighbors love neighbors. I long for those days, amen, when Sunday meant go to church. I love those days when prayer meeting meant we come together and we ask the Lord Jesus to help us. Amen. I didn't need to find myself. I needed Jesus to find me because I knew I was lost. I'd never find myself if it was left up to me. But thank God one night he told me. Amen. Out of the pulpit, out of the power of God, came to me like there was nobody else in the congregation. And I came up out of my pew and I found Jesus. Or right along, he found me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then the 80s rolled in. Praise God. One thing about the 70s, I was immediately elevated about 2 inches taller than my natural height. I had shoes in my closet that looked like miniature stilts. And it didn't matter because I had bell bottoms that come all the way to the bottom so you couldn't see it. But in the 80s, We tried to reinvent ourselves. You know, the 80s was kind of la-la. Not a whole lot going on. You know, when I'm not a lot of... I'm going to disturb you a little bit. Is it okay? When there's not a lot going on around us, we're not real spiritual. We're kind of in spiritual la-la land. We just kind of go to church. Sing a few songs. Pray. And go back home. But can I tell you when war is raging? Can I tell you when diversity has its grips around our spiritual neck? Can I tell you when we look around us and all we see is doom and gloom and problems and issues, all of a sudden we begin to get real with God during those times. Amen. We forget about the comfort of worshiping and we begin to worship God because we need Him. We can't exist without Him. I gotta have Him every day of my life. And in the 80s we tried to reinvent ourselves. Man. And the 90s came along. We tried to understand ourselves. You know, there was a time I did not have to explain to you what I was. I know many of you are wondering, well, you need to take a little time and explain. But there was a time I was accepted. Come on. I didn't have to explain myself. I didn't have to look like you. You see, there was a time when I was going, be your own person. Be individual. You know, do your own thing. Yeah. As long as it looks and acts like everybody else. Man. And in the 90s, we tried to understand ourselves. It's all right to be different. It's all right to be unique. But it's better to be godly. Amen. Come on. I don't want to fit in society. I don't want to look like the average person. I don't want to act like the average person. I've been born again. I've been delivered out of the sick hole that I was in. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want to talk like the world. Thank God I've been born again. I've been delivered. I am redeemed. Praise God. I can't tell you I understand it all. I can't understand how God loved me so much. Amen. That He pulled me out of that nature and He saved my soul, but He did. Then the 2000s came. And I don't know about you, but at my age, I'm just trying to remember. That in itself is labor. Sometimes my quietest and most contented moments is when I sit back and I just remember. Man. Especially after I've just walked up a heavy flight of stairs. And I don't breathe as well as I ought to. And I remember as a dumb child running up the stairs. If I'd only known then what I know now, I'd have conserved some of that for later on. I remember also that I would love to play outside so much that Mother would have to call 3 or 4 times for us to come in and eat. All I have to hear now is the ice falling in the glasses. I'm there. It don't matter what I'm doing, I'm there. So in the 2000s, we try to remember. But then again, these are things that have caused society to affect us. You see, I'm at the point in my life, I don't want to be affected by society. I want my life and my relationship with God to affect society. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to urge them to understand that we are His workmanship. I'm going to try to be brief this morning. But as I begin to think, God, who am I? And I know we're taught as Christians to be humble, and we should be, submissive to God as we are directed to be, preferring our brother over ourselves. And that's good. That's teaching. That's wonderful. But I want to warn you about that. You continue doing those things, but Satan is tapping on your shoulder and telling you, you know what? You're not worth a lot. You've not reached, nor have you exceeded your goals that you set for yourself when you graduated or when you got out of school. He likes to remind us that others are doing better than ourselves. Financially. Socially. Seems like they never have a care in the world. And here I am trying to live for God and I got problems all the time. Satan's good at telling you that. And then he tells us, you know what? God doesn't really care whether you live for Him or not. Come on, you're depriving yourself of joy. You're depriving yourself of all of these wonderful things that the world has to offer. Let me tell you something. If you're leaning toward that decision, amen, this world is going to pass away. And all the lust and all the things and all the material things of this life are going to soon be gone. Amen. Do not lay up treasures here on this earth, but lay your treasures in heaven where you will be rewarded. I am a product of His workmanship. He did not make a mistake when He made me. If I live for Him, if I obey Him, I'm exactly today where He wants me to be. Not where I want to be, not what I want to be, but I'm where He has me. I'm what He has me. And that excites me because I know He'll take care of the future. Glory to God. I am His workmanship. Turn and tell somebody, I am His workmanship. God made you to be who you are. To be what you are. John 1 and 12 says, I am God's child. Yes, Lord. Satan bugging you. Turn him around. Turn around and say, I am God's child. I know my Father. What does the song say? He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Glory to God. I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. And I'm anointed. Because I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. John 15:15. I am a friend of God. Somebody said, you get to choose your friends, you're stuck with your family. Amen. Satan, you're wrong when you tell me I'm worthless. It's a lie from the pits of hell when you tell me I'm not going to amount to anything. When you look at me and you tell me, you ought to be like your neighbor. You ought to be like some of those other people. And you could if you just would put other things before you and God. No, 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 1,000 times no. I can't have anything between me and God. I know where it brought me from. I know where He's taken me to. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not distraught. I'm not upset. Praise God. I have a friend in Jesus. Glory to God. I have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I have a friend who'll never let me down. I have a friend that I can call 24/7 every day of my life. I can call upon this friend Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells me I am united with the Lord Jesus and one with Him in spirit. Glory to God. Lord didn't just save me and cast me aside. I'm united with Him. Hallelujah. In my daily walk, in my decision making, in the things that accompany around my life, my total environment, I am united with Him. Glory to God. So much so that I want my thoughts to be His thoughts. I want my will to coincide with His will. I want to be submissive and obedient to where the Lord leads me, even if it doesn't make sense to my natural eyes. Even if I can't see the opportunities that lie ahead, I know that if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, I have a friend who'll lead me. I have a friend who'll guide me. I have a friend who cares for me. Hallelujah. Because I am a part of His workmanship. I thought about the workmanship of God and how perfect that His workmanship would be. We may not think that we're anything, but in God's eyes we're precious. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 tells me that I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is an assurance. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you. Amen. You don't only have to walk with Jesus. Jesus can walk in you. Hallelujah. Through the infilling of His Spirit. Not only am I a temple of the Holy Ghost, I've been bought with a price. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tell Satan that sometime. I've been purchased. Come on. I've been purchased. I've been bought with a price. I'm not even my own person. I belong to God. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price. I've been bought. See, it upsets Satan when you realize just who you are in Christ. Now, don't you go away from this congregation this morning with the wrong attitude and think that we're high and mighty. Think that we're all of that. What's it saying now? We wouldn't have known what they're talking about in the 50s, but right now, we're all that in a bag of chips. Somebody told me that in the 50s or 60s. I've been looking for some Lay's. Where are my chips? Plain. Ruffle sometimes if you got dip. But we know. Amen. That we're special in the eyes of God. Because we've been purchased. Glory to God. How many be honest? See, you like to be included. Nobody? And you say, okay, okay. How many people like to be included? How many likes to be a part of something? Amen. Even when it's choosing up sides to play baseball, as long as I got chosen, might be last, but as long as I got chosen, I'm part of something. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'm a member of the body of Christ. It just put me in there somewhere. I did not tell God I want to be the mouthpiece. I didn't tell Him I wanted to be hears. I just said, I just want to be in there somewhere. Use me, Lord. Take me, God. Place me in the body of Christ. Wherever You want me to be therewith, I will be content. I will do it to the best of my ability. And I will lean on You. And I will not lean on my own understanding. And I'll be the best little finger that I possibly can. With Your help, with Your anointing. I just want to be a member of the body of Christ. Because I'm His workmanship. Ephesians 1:45 says, we are chosen and adopted. Glory to God. I like the word chosen. Yeah. You've been to the produce stand. Did you just go by and pick up the first tomato without looking? Oh, you picky congregation. What'd you do? Look around, find the prettiest one, smoothest one, the one got no spots on it. The one that ain't rotten, the one that ain't got a worm hanging out and waving at you. Y'all are mighty picky. You wanted the very best, didn't you? Jesus chose me and I was the rottenest one on the table. Oh, you don't get it. Maybe you were perfect. Maybe you were shiny. Maybe there were no black spots on you. Maybe you were sitting there bigger than all the rest, but not me. I tried to hide because I was full of spots. I was full of sin. But let me tell you what Jesus did. He reached down in there and He got the old rotten one. Amen. And He made me His workmanship. He brought me out of a sinful state. Amen. And He placed me into the body of Christ. I've been born again. I'm a child of God. I was chosen and adopted. Put your hands together for Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got to hurry, I know. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I've got a new name. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God that I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Because I was in such a sinful nature. Had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for redemption, had it not been for His blood, there's no telling where I would be today. But thank God, I'm His workmanship. Oh no, I'm not what I want to be yet. I'm not completed. Come on, He's still working on me all the time. He loves me and I'm His workmanship, but I can't tell you how many times He's mashed me down and made me all over. Amen, because He loves us. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 tells us that we are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. That completeness means that we're not perfect, but we're striving for perfection. We're reaching toward, pressing toward that mark. But it also tells me that I'm lacking nothing. Come on. Many of us got that mind and that attitude of, I got this and I ain't got that. I wonder why I don't have this. I live for the Lord. I pay my tithes. I do this. And I just don't seem to be getting ahead. You are complete in Jesus. Have you ever wondered? Sometimes that we yearn for is the very thing that we don't need. Because we've asked God to give it to me and we've not asked His counsel. Come on. Hallelujah. I'd rather enter into heaven absolutely penniless than to die and go to hell with $1 billion. Hallelujah. Because my Lord tells me that He'll give me my daily bread. Hallelujah. I ain't got to worry about it. He'll give me my daily bread. He'll lead me and He'll guide me. I'm trusting in Him. I am completely devoted to Him. And I am complete in Him. Lacking nothing, but God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. I'm proud to be a product of God's workmanship. And there are very many wonderful, wonderful benefits from having a relationship with the Lord. He supplies our need. He takes care of our illnesses and our ailments and heals our sicknesses and our affliction. But can I tell you, one of the greatest satisfying things that I know I find in Romans 8 and 12, I am free from condemnation. Glory to God. I said, devil, you're bringing up something that's done been covered by the blood of Jesus. I ain't got time for you. I'm not going to listen to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because I am free from the past. I am free from condemnation. I have been set free. Those chains have been broken apart. Glory to God. He that is within me, glory to God, is going to make me able to withstand all of those things that come against me. I am free from condemnation. And finally this morning, and I'm trying to be brief. I know the Lord is blessed immensely in our message, in our services this morning. But Romans 8 and 17. He knows what a testament is. He knows what a will is. He knows wills cannot be changed, whether it pleases you or not. Whether it pleases your other family members or not. Because the author of that will has made it law. It is steadfast. And I find in Romans 8 and 17, in the will, in the testament, that I am an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Put your hands together. You are His workmanship. You are His pride and joy. You are the only one of His creation that He has given free will to. We have that free will to choose. Amen. And thank God, hallelujah, that He is able to declare that we are not only heirs with Him, but joint heirs with Christ. Man, I have access to that glorious kingdom. Not because of what I did, but because of what He did. Please, please hear me. Don't listen to Satan when he runs you down, when he tells you it doesn't matter. I know how Satan works. He tell you, it don't matter if you're a church or not. He ain't going to miss you. Yes, we do. Amen. And don't listen to him when he tries to refocus your attention on things of the world. I know. Talk to people. They're beating themselves up because they have not accomplished or attained the things in life that they aspired to. You know, there's very little in life that I have even been able to accomplish of the goals that I set forth. I remember, of course, being here as long as I have, I remember those other decades. And I remember there was an automobile called an El Camino. Anybody ever remember that? It was ahead of its time. You see, it was a hybrid of sorts, part car, part truck. But to me, it was cool. Cool. I mean, when cool meant good, it didn't mean I was freezing. And I said, don't get me one of them. I didn't even have a license, but I'm going to get me one of them. I was like, I'd look good driving down the road in one of them El Caminos. And after I get me one of them El Caminos and I look cool with my t-shirt rolled up, my hand outside the window, pressed up against the car to make it look bigger, I want me a cute... Now, Sister Penny, thank God for forgiveness and thank God for grace. But I want me a pretty little brunette to sit with me while I drive my El Camino. I drive a minivan today and married a redhead. And I'm just as happy as I could be. Sometimes unanswered prayers are God's blessing to us. Amen. Because we don't even know what we're asking for. But I know how Satan will jump on your shoulder. Hey, you hadn't got this and you hadn't got that and you're not this and you're not that. Don't sit there and take that junk. Use them scriptures. Turn around. Use the word of God. I'm chosen and adopted. Amen. I'm heirs and joint heirs. Glory to God. There is now no more condemnation. And get out of here, Satan. I ain't got time to listen to you. I am His workmanship. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. If you're happy to be a child of God, if you're happy to know that God lives within you, if you're happy to know that you've been chosen and you've been adopted, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The answer I may never know, how He ever loved me so. Whatever the rest of it is good. Amen. From an old rugged cross, He died for who am I. We're special in God's eyes. You may not be special with those you work with. You may not even be special with those in your family. Amen. But you're part of God's workmanship. Would you stand this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know that folks have come to the altar already, and hopefully there are no needs. Hopefully God has fulfilled every need that you have in this congregation. But if you're here today, I don't want you to go home burdened. I don't want you to go home, amen, perplexed or depressed. Amen. God is a deliverer. Thank God that He cares enough not only to have caused us to exist, but also be able to take care of us.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one who needs prayer, please come. I will assure you that I'll stay here and pray with you. Amen, because we want you to be delivered. Is there one this morning? We'll still with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need a prayer request this morning, just lift your hand. Let this pastor see and I'll be praying with you, praying for you. May God bless you. Don't forget, tonight is the kickoff for our annual VBS. And I know that a lot of people have been putting a lot of time and effort into making this a success. And come and be a part of it. You might say, well, I don't help out in any way. Just come. Enjoy the fellowship. I mean, it's wonderful to watch the kids and all the energy that they have. And many, many people who started out in Vacation Bible School grew on up to be a part of this church. Amen. It's not really what it's about. We're not trying to get folks to be members of this church. We're just trying to tell folks about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just tell folks about Jesus, and there's somebody that loves them.